Your guide to Merseyside sport. The kickoff.
Radio City Talk.
Okay, let the madness begin. The first of 380 Premier League games is tonight as Arsenal face Leicester with a 7:45 kickoff. There's bound to be loads of madness and controversy throughout the course of the next 9 months, and covering it all will be Jonathan Northcroft from the Sunday Times. Morning to you, Jonathan.
Morning, Steve.
Never fails to disappoint, does it?
No, I mean, it's funny, I was away for 3 weeks on holiday and I discovered to my delight and surprise that there is a life outside football, but about 2 days being back and you just feel right in the middle of it. But let's be honest, this is a really exciting time of year. The first weekend's just magical for me and some cracking games, there's some huge stories, and at the moment, maybe it's just the holiday vibe, but I'm really looking forward to it.
The past 3 months has been dominated about stories concerning finance and wealth and how wealth is continuing to take over the game. It's taken it to new levels. Is there any danger of the bubble bursting with all these figures that we're now seeing banded around?
Yeah, I mean, history tells us that the bubble will burst at some point, but I don't think we're anywhere near that yet. I mean, speaking to people who understand the TV rights industry, say there's still quite a long way to go with TV money. Maybe not from, you know, our domestic contracts, but foreign countries are paying more and more for the Premier League. So I think there will be more and more cash for transfers. Maybe we've got another 5 or 6 years of this, and you wonder where transfer fees are gonna end up. And then of course you've got the likes of PSG and Real Madrid and Bayern Munich and Barcelona who aren't going to go away financially either. So it's becoming the thing that dominates the agenda, as you say. And I have to say that it does leave me slightly cold, all the big transfers and the talk of wages and so on, because for me that takes away a little bit from what I love, which is, you know, good coaching, managers developing players, homegrown players, and all that kind of thing. But then I'm middle aged, a bit old fashioned.
Will it inevitably separate though the top sort of six or seven teams even further from the rest of the league in the next couple of years?
Yes, I think we're seeing that. I think we're seeing that in a number of countries and in the Premier League. It's interesting looking at Everton. I think what they're trying to do is almost get on the bus before it leaves, because there is going to be an elite thankfully England's got a bigger elite than other countries. But yeah, for me, looking at this year's Premier League, there's a divide between, you know, the clubs who are just really throwing money at it, the Manchester clubs and Chelsea obviously in the past. And the clubs are still trying to develop and obviously spend money, but also do a little bit different in terms of growing teams. And that'd be Liverpool, Tottenham, and then you might put Arsenal somewhere in the middle. And it's almost a battle now. Fans want you to spend, you know, whatever some of the time, and don't seem to understand that you know, if it just becomes a spending race, then, well, Manchester City will be champions every year. You know, clubs have got to do something different. And I hope it doesn't always just come down to money either.
It can't just be a spending race. I mean, Chelsea broke their transfer record with Alvaro Morata.
Yeah.
United spent even more on Romelu Lukaku. City spent £200 million. But does that all but guarantee City the success?
I don't think it does. I mean, a lot of people are tipping City for the title. I'm not as wowed by their spending as many others. I think they signed a couple of fullbacks who are incredible going forward, but don't particularly defend. They've signed a young goalkeeper who we don't know if he's going to adapt to England yet, and they've signed a really good playmaker, number 10 in Bernardo Silva, but they've got about 10 of them already. So I think they're, you know, the very, very impressive squad, but I don't see them as kind of nailed on for the title, as some people are saying. And I think people are making those predictions on the basis that they've spent so much money. And yeah, it is about more than that, I think.
So that's at one end of the scale. And perhaps at the other end of the scale is what we're hearing more and more about in the past couple of days concerning Tottenham and a club that aren't so willing, perhaps, to spend even on the great players they've got within the club already.
Yeah, and Tottenham have always seemed to be, you know, a club you'd envy, really clever at extending the contracts of these players at the right time and then giving, you know, somehow getting these great young players to sign six-year deals and seven-year deals. And I think all that's now under real threat. And when you look at Danny Rose, who's kind of brought all this to a head with his explosive interview, I mean, he's sitting there at the age of 26, 27, at peak of his career, a really decent player, but he's not a world beater, but he's a really decent player. And he's looking at, let's say, Manchester United, who want him, and the fact that, you know, Jesse Lingard is on 100 grand a week and he's on 60, 65 grand a week. And it's a short career. Naturally, he's thinking, you know, there's players at Crystal Palace, there's players at Stoke who are out-earning him. Mm. And yet Tottenham are supposed to be one of the big seven teams. I don't think you can blame a player for thinking like that, really. The trouble for Spurs is that the minute they sign Kyle Walker, that whole dressing room starts to look at their own situations. And it's funny because people were saying, well, he's only Kyle Walker, you know, they've got Trippier, they can replace him. But it does show the danger of when you take away one of those bricks. And, you know, footballers in the dressing room talk about where they are wage-wise. And that's now the big problem Spurs have got to handle. And they're building a stadium. So I don't see how they can get past the fact that they don't have the money to give to players that other clubs do. They're going to have to probably rely on Pochettino's charm and charisma to keep players happy somehow and just hope they don't what happens to them is what happened to Arsenal, you know, 10 years ago, where their great young team basically just all went to Manchester City because of money and they had all this time in the wilderness.
A charm can only go so far, can't it? I can't imagine if you're Dele Alli, one of the great young British players, and you're earning £60,000 a week, surely your head's turned a little bit. Yet surely you think, well, look, if I played at Liverpool, they'd probably pay me twice that.
Absolutely, and you can love your boss, but you know you've got to look after yourself even more. And then of course, you know, Pochettino himself has got no shortage of clubs that want to take him. So it is a real problem for Tottenham. Huge problem. I think Harry Kane might be a different case because he's almost a Steven Gerrard for them, you know, homegrown boy who wants to be the captain and all that kind of stuff. But I think the other ones are all pretty vulnerable now.
Right, so turning into the new year last year, into 2017, Liverpool were very much in the title hunt, Jonathan. What hopes of that happening again? Does indeed something like that happening sort of rely or hinge on a Virgil van Dijk deal being completed?
Well, for me, yeah, if Liverpool are going to make that step this season, then it does depend on something different happening defensively. Now, Van Dijk would be, for me, a great signing. If Van Dijk isn't possible, I still think Liverpool have got to do something in that area because the team's been great going forward for a number of years. You know, Klopp will have them playing even better at that side of the game this year, I'm sure. But they've conceded about 50 goals a season for the last, you know, five seasons, going back to Brendan Rodgers' reign. And you're just not going to win titles doing that. And the personnel hasn't changed at the back. So for me, they need that extra bit of quality there. If it's not going to be Van Dijk, you'd hope there's a plan B. But rather a lot of eggs in that basket do seem to have been put on Van Dijk. And we're now getting to the territory where, you know, 2 weeks to go, is it going to happen or not?
Would you see any sense at the other end of the pitch in selling Philippe Coutinho if an absurd figure came in for him?
None whatsoever. None whatsoever. He's a fabulous player, extremely important. And I think what you're seeing in the transfer market is a lot of players, a lot of clubs rather, holding on to top players because they know that you can't actually spend the money that you take in. You know, you might get 100 million for Coutinho, but in this market, who are you going to buy? If Gylfi Sigurdsson, if Everton can't get Gylfi Sigurdsson easily, and are willing to pay almost 50 million. I think they will get him, but you know they're going to have to pay 50 million. Can Liverpool replace Philippe Coutinho at this stage of the summer, even if they get £110 million? I don't think so. I think they've got to keep him. And because of the type he is, I think you know that will be possible. He'll get his head down and he'll work. Hopefully for Liverpool, then he would be part of a successful season and might think differently next year.
Well, let's hope he's a piece of the jigsaw that he can complete. You're going to be at Vicarage Road, aren't you? For the Watford-Liverpool game. It's a vast cry from when I last visited there, when one half of the stadium was condemned almost.
Yeah, and I mean, it's funny. Everything's always changing at Watford on the pitch as well, isn't it? You know, I'm going there with no idea what sort of Watford team I'm going to see.
They've spent £50 million, haven't they?
Yeah, and you know, new manager. I'm not quite sure what to expect style wise as well, because Marcus Silva plays a very different way to the way Watford played last year with that direct game. But it's a great. I mean, Watford's it's a very you know, kind of reminiscent of the 80s, I suppose, a club like that. And I think it's got a bit of a romance that game. As does Vicarage Road even now, and I think it's a really exciting start. I think it's a tough start for Liverpool, a really, really tough start, and I'm expecting a real sort of fiery game to start the season.
Right, give us your top four before you go, Jonathan.
Oh, gosh. Well, OK, I've got to explain myself here. I went to France on holiday. I probably had too much red wine and cheese. I've come back with this feeling that I can't shake, that Arsenal are going to surprise us all this season and finally do it.
You've had too much cheese.
I know. I've been out in the sun, haven't I? And I think it's going to be Arsenal, Manchester City, Liverpool, and then Chelsea or United.
Steve Hoddersall's kickoff. This is Radio City Talk.